and Murata Mornings. Social Studies. Brought to you by HigherPrice.com. Carol Royce, your home sold guaranteed realty.
9 o'clock on a Friday. Social Studies is here. So we'll turn it over to Sarah Cazell, and Bick and I will just drink a beer.
Oh, I like it. I can put some chords to that.
And what if you bought me a beer?
We could rock that up a little bit.
I like that. I like that. Welcome into Social Studies. It's a party. We do it every single day at 9 o'clock. Thanks to Jarrett Carlin. He posts some questions. I pick my favorite answers. And man, y'all gave me some good stuff to work with today. We are starting with the Phoenix Suns. Their series against the Timberwolves starts tomorrow in Minnesota. So we're looking for predictions, guys. Who wins this series? In how many games, and who is going to be the series' top scorer?
Suns, 6 games, Devin Booker.
Ditto.
Ooh, look at that.
Think of it this way, too. Suns winning a series in 6 games without home court advantage would mean they'd actually clinch a series on the home floor, which they have not done in a very, very long time.
So that step one in the healing process would be a win at Footprint Center to eliminate a basketball team.
Yes. There you go. We have not seen that.
Oh, yes?
Local airport, please stay out of it.
They only get involved when it gets down toward the finals.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. All right, you guys said Suns in six. That was the consensus from our participants as well. Suns in six. Not everybody, just the majority. Manuel Moreno says, if all three are hitting their shots, Suns in five. If one is on fire while the other two slump, it's going to be Minnesota in seven. Dan is one of those who picked the Suns in six. It's just too hard to play two guys on defense that can't defend on the perimeter. I think Ant's shooting and Cat's defense will determine how many games this series goes, but I don't think those two guys can do enough to win this series. We've got Mono going against Imano. He says,
"That's something.
Ain't that something?" He says, "T-Wolves in seven, in yet another crushing exit for the Suns. It's going to be a back and forth series with an unengaged Suns team in Game Seven. Wow, that would be a perfect ending to a perfect season.
It's not perfect.
Play against Imano."
Oh, and then last one from Paulson J. Healy. Yo soy fiesta, yes. Paulson J. Healy says, I just don't know as far as predicting this series. Do the Suns even want to win? Are they going to lock in now that the games, quote unquote, matter? Are they going to be connected? What's the effort from the Timberwolves? Are they more desperate and more locked in?
Is anybody listening to me?
Exactly. All right, we're sticking with the Suns. I'm moving on to our next question in today's edition of Social Studies. Bick, you brought this up earlier in the show. You said that if the Suns made it to the finals, even if they lost, you would feel like the season were
It's not an absolute. The optics would matter. Okay. I mean, if you're up 3 games to Love and then you blow it, then it's different.
Sure.
But it's my general experience, and it's one of my new, more recent takes as a sports fan, that getting, once your team gets to the finals or the championship round, the dynamics of what you think is success and failure change.
Certainly. Yeah, I agree with that. So we're asking, what would make the season a success of these four options, guys? What would make the season a success for the Suns and why? Winning the championship, getting to the NBA Finals, getting to the Western Conference Finals, or just winning this first round?
I see a lot of truth in what Bick says. I kind of envy what Bick says because I'm not there. Once I get onto championship or nothing, I can't move off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, what Bick said about the optics and all of the ingredients that go into a series, that can change your mind, that can change your thinking.
Yeah.
But I'm still not off of it. But
I'm all the way off of it. Fully off of it.
Are you?
Yeah. If they make it to the second round, I'll be like, oh, good for them. Okay. 47% say success for the Suns this season would be winning the championship. 47% say that. 24% say reaching the NBA Finals would be a successful season. 23% say reaching the Western Conference Finals. Only 6% say winning that first playoff round would be a success. Patrick Kaiser says, when you dismantle a team that won a team record 64 games for some aging superstars, anything less than a title is a complete failure. They set those expectations. Blake, similar vibe, says, you mortgaged the entire future and all roster flexibility to build this roster. That's the definition of all in. Anything less than a title is a failure. Navon and Dad says, Western Conference Finals. Reaching the Western Conference Finals would be a success. The West is tough, and the way the Suns play up and down, I don't think the finals are possible. And then Dante says, gotta get at least one series win. I hope they get to the Western Conference Finals, but just show everyone that they can win a seven-game series. That should shut up the talking heads. All right, and moving on to our final question for today's edition of Social Studies. With the Coyotes inactive, that's the word that we're looking for. They're not gone, they're inactive.
They're kind of like me. Inactive.
They've got a busted hip. They're going home, trying to recoup there. We're asking, what will you guys miss most about having a hockey team in town? About having the Coyotes in town? Open-ended.
I mean, just kind of that. Vic has talked about it a lot, and I'm on board with him on this subject as well. There's a badge of honor. I have been on this soapbox for years talking about how I think, in my own definition of it, Phoenix, Arizona is the best sports city in America. You lose a professional franchise, I don't think I can make that claim with a straight face anymore.
Yeah.
Until hockey returns. So, and look, hockey's a fun sport to watch. It's a fun sport to follow. Hockey players, Todd Walsh told us about it, and he's exactly right. You've met, how many hockey players have you met in the course of your career? They're different people. And I mean that in the best of ways.
Yeah, they're the toughest, the most down to earth.
They're the most down to earth,
the most appreciative of the sports trophy and all that. Yeah, everything you said is absolutely accurate. And again, I also feel bad for Coyotes fans because they've got a lot of latent anger built up inside of them. And yeah. Vinny and I are going to talk about this in a bit. Now they're lashing out at the media, claiming it's all our fault for not covering this team on the daily and not giving them more coverage, right? And it's if you're a sports fan, you know better than that. You know that the media it's not our job to create interest, it's our job to reflect interest.
Yes.
And there's a fundamental difference, but it just speaks to the anger that they have.
They gotta lash out at somebody.
Deservedly
so. They should be angry, yeah. All right, getting to some of our responses before we break. What you'll miss most about having the Coyotes and hockey in town. You guys mentioned the pride of being a four-sport city. William Laguna wrote that in. He says not many can call themselves that. Tony Height says, I'm going to miss having a team. I don't have a hockey team anymore. I don't have my team anymore. Daylight Films loves going to live games. He says there is nothing like it in all of sports. You've got the cold environment, the cold beer, the speed, the hitting, the passionate fans, the howl of the crowd, all of it. KJ is really going to miss this specific group of players, the young core that Bill Armstrong built. Oh, and he also mentioned going to games and seeing a bunch of D-backs players there. That was a really fun thing that was starting to build. And then Seabocker44 mentions all of the personalities involved with the team, like Tyson Nash, Shane Doan, Matt McConnell, Lindsey Fry, Bob Heathouse, and Luke?
Lukewarm?
Yes. All right. Mock My World update quickly. Dan Bickley, you are running away with this thing. Yesterday we drafted in honor of the Coyotes. Things that we miss about sports. Things from sports past. 42% of the vote for you. 24% for you, Jarrett Carlin. I've got 19%. Vince, you have 15% with about 2 hours left in voting.
Here we go.
Your streak continues, Vince.
I'm good. We're playing golf rules, right? right? Low score win?
Yeah, that's correct. Right. Congratulations.
Congratulations to you, Bic. You did well. You did well in that draft yesterday.
Oh, gee, thanks.
That is Social Studies. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah.
Epically underscore Murata on X. Coming up next, yeah, we will get back into the Coyotes. It is official. They are headed to Utah. But what is on the future plans? What are the future plans for Alex Morello? He shared some of them yesterday, and we'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Another season ends with no playoffs in sight. The players take the ice and wish the fans good night. But there are tears and hugs and signs for all to see. This is the end of Yotaki and AZ. Although it was predictable, we put up quite a fight. We have to wish the Coyotes goodbye.
I think whenever you have something that you really love and care about and it's gone, then you kind of grieve, and I think you go through a whole bunch of emotions.
Kachuk and Roenick and Dallas Drake were nice. Fans watching from seats where they can't see the ice. The group of owners changing with every team sale. Los Sarcos didn't work, so let's move to Glendale. Although it was predictable, we put up quite a fight. We have to wish the Coyotes goodbye.
We walk together forever as Coyote fans, and that's the story, really.
Brian Boucher just would not let a goal go through. And we found something the great one couldn't do. Shootouts and whiteouts, Heat House and Tyson Nash. Tempe people voting for a pile of trash. Although it was predictable, we put up quite a fight. We have to wish the Coyotes goodbye.
What's there not like about the valley? There's a paradise that's near here. I don't know where it is, but it's not far from here.
So as the legend Shane Doan watches his son skate, the team prepares to move to their home in Salt Lake. Morello counts his money to bid on some land. It's only business, so screw all of the fans. Although it was predictable, we put up quite a fight. We have to wish the Coyotes goodbye.
It's been a wild ride this entire time, but everybody who experienced it is so happy that they did.
Oh, Jared Carlin getting emotional. A little history lesson, too, on the Phoenix/Arizona Coyotes in musical form. Well done, Jared.
Thank you.
Alex Morello, the owner of the Coyotes, is going to speak today at a press conference with Gary Bettman. He spoke yesterday on these airwaves, came in, did a lengthy interview with Burns and Gambo. I want to play one snippet of this. The question of, like, the overarching theme of where was the big mistake? Where was the one mistake that led to the Coyotes leaving? And the way it was asked was kind of like, look in the mirror, Alex Morello. Where did this go wrong from your standpoint under your watch? And there was some deflection, certainly.
I would say it really starts from the beginning. There's not one mistake. It starts from the beginning. They come here and they play in Phoenix Arena, which had so many seats.
4,500, a limited view, couldn't work.
Correct. There were so many obstructed views of seats that they had to relocate to Glendale. Glendale was another mistake because it was so far away from the public and the fans that they could never generate the attendance that was necessary. So that was another failure. It just didn't work. I was basically kicked out. No, I was kicked out of the arena. They asked me to sign for 20 years, and I said I wouldn't do that. And when I said no, they said they would kick me out. I didn't think they would do it, and they did. They thought for sure I would never have enough time to relocate it to a different city in the East Valley, and they were wrong. I went to Tempe. During that 2 years in Tempe, I've seen numbers I've never seen before. It's been extremely successful, and we've generated more revenues, not even close to what we were doing at Gila for 18,000 seats versus the 4,400 we have at Tempe. So I am convinced that hockey works in the desert.
Didn't really answer the question. He kind of gave a history lesson as mm-hmm. well. We know that. The part that stands out to me was the game of chicken he got in with the city of Glendale.
Yeah.
I never thought they'd kick me out, and they did. Why not buy time? If again, Mullet Arena turned out to be the death knell, even though he's raving about the numbers that were generated. I'm looking mm-hmm. at the attendance figures of the Coyotes, the Jobbing.com Arena, Healer River Arena. They were never lower than 11,989. Now, did they pack the place? Absolutely not.
Did they give away tickets? Yeah, those attendance figures in Glendale were always, take them with a grain of salt. Yeah,
absolutely, but there was always more people than 4,600.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah,
and listen, the idea that he was, summarily kicked out of Glendale. I think the city of Glendale would have their own response to that.
Yes, and
I think
we heard his side of the story.
Yeah, I think
that's
it. And I can just cite that KD Strang long story in The Athletic that detailed all of the incidents and all of the things that would not paint them as a good tenant. So there are two sides to that story. I'll also say this. So Alex Morello, he not only visited with Burns and Gamble yesterday, he also did a long interview with the Arizona Republic. And in that long Arizona Republic interview, he said hockey can return, but, quote, this doesn't happen without city cooperation, end quote. Now, a lot of people are viewing that as a threat. Now, Alex Morello's been on record as saying, I'm going to build this arena, I'm going to build this entertainment district without any public funding. But what he does want from the city of Phoenix is he wants that theme park recapture clause that the Diamondbacks had.
Yeah.
He wants that. So he wants the ability to kind of create, you know, a closed loop on this so the tax and all that kind of stuff benefit him and help him pay for the project rather than actually benefit the city of Phoenix or be partners. So I don't know how the city of Phoenix is going to respond to that. And that's going to, in my opinion, aside from winning the land, that's the other part of this is can you strike a partnership with the city of Phoenix when your attempts to strike a partnership with Tempe failed and clearly Glendale failed? That's going to be the big thing. And I know what they're going to say today. I can already predict what this press conference with Gary Bettman and Alex Morello is going to sound like. It's going to sound like, hey, we just ran out of time and hockey isn't done here and hockey works here. The latter is right. Hockey does work here. There's no doubt about it. And this sure. That is something I feel passionately for, that Coyote fans in the Valley, you are absolved from all of this. This is nothing to do with you.
No.
And contrary to what a few crazy people in the audience think, it has nothing to do with the media. Nothing. So this is about an owner and a sports franchise creating a partnership with the city they are housed in. A working, healthy partnership. So can they do it? We'll find out at the land auction.
Yes.
Just how serious this team and this man happens to
be. Yeah, I'm wondering too, because I thought the guys, and I said this before, Burns and Gambo both did a good job of holding Alex Morello's feet to the fire.
It's going
to happen again today, but I don't know if we'll hear anything different. I think you're right on the money with what to expect. Real quick, want to get to this. There's a resolution on the ASU football recruiting scandal findings. We'll cut to the chase, the last paragraph of the release from the NCAA Media Center. The agreed-upon penalties in this case include 4 years of probation for the school, a fine, a self-imposed postseason ban for the 2023 football season.
Already happened.
Vacation of records for contests in which ineligible student-athletes competed, scholarship reductions, and recruiting restrictions in alignment with the level one mitigated classification for the school. Additionally, the school disassociated an involved booster for a period of 5 years. The individuals also agreed to or did not contest show cause orders ranging from 3 to 10 years consistent with the level one aggravated classifications of their respective violations. So that's at the base level. We're going to get more information on the individuals mm-hmm. involved, who those ineligible student athletes were. But finally, a resolution that makes Kenny Dillingham's job harder. Great.
But basically not Not too bad.
No, no, there's no postseason ban, right?
Of all the things you said,
after, it, no, not it after was, last year.
Correct.
Just
after
last year.
Self-reporting, yes, nothing
and after, right, exactly.
Yeah. Scholarship that, reductions was the one thing and all that thing that you read that would really affect them.
Yeah.
Yes. And recruiting restrictions, yeah.
And recruiting restrictions.
That investigation started in June 2021. It is April 2024. Congratulations, NCAA.
NCAA.
To find that.
Amazing.
Moving like
great
a
work.
Moving like a glacier since 1952.
And like glaciers, the NCAA is melting.
Jared, yeah. Yes. How about it?
Jared's got the sports kebab coming up next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports poll question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
All right, moving along here on this Friday morning. We are Bickley and Murata Mornings. Hi, thanks for joining us. We're going to our website, arizonasports.com, and we are going to check in on the Suns-Timberwolves playoff series, which starts tomorrow. The question is, which aspect of the Timberwolves' big three should concern the Suns the most? Okay, so what's going to be the biggest issue from the Timberwolves' big three? Anthony Edwards attacking, Carl Anthony Towns shooting, or Rudy Gobert defending the rim?
I'm going to vote A. It's got to be Anthony Edwards and whether or not he kind of reverses this trend of playing poorly against the Suns.
I think that's my clear choice as well.
Our voters think so too. 69% say Anthony Edwards attacking will be the biggest concern for the Suns. 22% say shooting by Carl Anthony Towns. 9% say defense at the rim by Rudy Gobert.
All right, that's today's Sanderson Ford poll question. You can vote on it now on the homepage at arizonasports.com.
I'm from the 1900s. And I just think you got to say it. Like, the world is so future now. And I feel in the way of it.
It's sports news skewered. The sports kebab.
All right, Jared, the stage is yours again.
All right, yes. As everybody loves. This is the sports kebab, but I do have to start by talking about some fun family news. As you know, a couple weeks ago, I took my nephew, Bennett, to his very first NBA game. Thank you, Vince. When the Suns played the Pelicans, it was awesome. He'll remember it forever. Well, this week, I'm going to make a new sports memory. I was able to pull some strings, call in some favors. I was able to get two front row tickets to take him to his first ever viewing of the Tempe landfill. Really looking forward
enjoy
to it.
Enjoy that, Ben.
Yes, it's every young
stay
sports
away from
fan's
the cotton
dream.
Candy.
Yes, their very own dump in town. You can't wait. Though, to be fair, if you consider the recent team's ownership, the Tempe landfill isn't the only Coyotes related thing that's completely full of crap. Because I would be remiss. I have to congratulate local billionaire Alex Morello on his acquisition of a fictional hypothetical hockey franchise that exists only in theory. The guy literally owns an NF team.
Wow.
I enjoyed that.
There's
one.
Nothing now, fungible about it.
The huge story this week is the franchise formerly known as the Arizona Coyotes is moving to Salt Lake City effective immediately, while former owner Alex Morello retains the Coyotes' name and logo and the ability to start a NHL franchise within 5 years here. I don't know what to think about all this, okay? Morello is very positive, but him saying that this is still an NHL town feels kind of like Oregon State telling everyone, no, we're still in the Pac-12. Don't worry. And maybe I'm being too harsh on Morello. The guy actually has really been a gift to the Valley sports scene. I'm sorry, grift. Grift is what I misread that. Now, of course, the Coyotes' current existence couldn't end without a little more shaking my head news. Because before their last game, legend Shane Doan was presented with his missing retired jersey, which had been left behind years ago in the Glendale Arena. This is crazy. How could this happen? How could Shane Doan not have this? I mean, everyone knows in his career, the only time Shane Doan didn't need to have his jersey was when the Stanley Cup Finals were going on. Now, at least Shane did get one last great moment with the franchise a couple weeks ago, getting to watch his son Josh's debut where he scored two goals. What a great moment for Shane, and especially for Josh. Seeing your father look at you with such pride and joy and respect is such a satisfying thing, I assume. So, I've heard. So now our hockey team goes to Salt Lake City, and people are there are hyped to get their second major pro franchise. Seriously, I haven't seen someone that excited for Utah to get two since Gary Busey was ordering meatball sandwiches in Point Break. Give me two, Utah. Now, since the Coyotes' name stays in Arizona, the Utah hockey team still doesn't have a name. Some are saying a frontrunner will be the Yeti. Have you heard that?
I have.
The Yeti, yeah, I don't get that. I mean, why have a team name for something that doesn't actually exist in Utah? But enough about the Jazz.
Yo!
But what I don't know is if the Coyotes' traditions will move to Salt Lake like they did when Winnipeg came to Phoenix. Because let's face it, what better crowd than Utah to pull off a whiteout? Because of the snow, of course.
Of course.
And Utah actually, you know, has more in common with us than most of us think, most of us know. Earlier, I mentioned the infamous Tempe landfill. Well, Utah has its own giant pile of trash. They just call it the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. And this whole thing has hit everyone hard. Coyotes broadcasters were overcome and showing emotion. Matt McConnell was angry. Bob Heathouse was crying. Luke Lipinski, well, most normal people showed emotion. So that's it. They're gone. They're gone. They're done. No more hockey. This version of the Coyotes will not score again in Arizona, or as the Diamondbacks call it, innings 2 through 9. Yeah, the Diamondbacks are struggling a bit this year, especially on offense. I mean, I haven't seen someone look that awkward and gross trying to score since that Indiana reporter talking to Caitlin Clark.
Oh, my heart.
Yeah. Indiana journalist Greg Doyle is under fire for apparently hitting on Clark during a press conference where he imitated her two-handed heart motion thing, asked her to do it to him. It was weird and inappropriate, and he spent the rest of the week saying he's sorry. I mean, apologizing to a girl for looking like a dateless loser? Who does he think he is? Me in high school? But that's not even the biggest story, because the Suns are in the playoffs. And look, guys, I'm going to be positive now, okay? I believe the Suns are going to finally win a championship. And I believe the Diamondbacks will turn this season around. I believe the Cardinals will do great in the upcoming draft. And I believe the Coyotes will come back to town. I believe everything will finally go our way in Arizona sports. And if you believe that, I have a plot of land in North Scottsdale to sell you.
Yeah. Well done.
Jared Carlin, the Sports Kebab, every Friday at 9:30. You can follow him on Twitter/X at JarrettGC. We will close out this week with some final thoughts heading into Suns Timberwolves Game 1 next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Bickley and Murata, song of the day.
This for the first time.
Wow,
right?
I am.
Yes. The brand new album. We had our choice today to
Dark Matter.
Dark Matter.
This summer.
Pearl Jam. We had our choice to play a track from the new Pearl Jam or a track from the new Taylor Swift.
You made the right call, Vinny.
I listened to a little bit of the Taylor Swift stuff. I kind of like it.
Really?
Yeah.
From what I heard, yeah. I haven't, in the very small sample, but I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Is it very sad, as expected?
The parts that I heard, This is the new one from Pearl Jam, Dark Matter. Jarrett, this is your favorite band of all time. What do you think?
Growing on me. I mean, I've heard this song was released about a month ago.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. And they have another single also out that I heard. Both okay.
Okay.
I feel like this era of Pearl Jam, I like their sort of more epic, like slower songs more than when they try to rock out. But this is catchy. It's good.
I like this.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Pearl Jam, Dark Matter, today's song of the day.
Bickley and Murata going off the grid.
Off the grid.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you've been hurt in an accident, call Sweet James at 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
I mean, we're just learning on the fly. I think we did a pretty good job. You know, Denver was a tough team. They're a well-oiled machine that's played with each other for a long time, so that was kind of opposite of what we were going through. But Chris went down early in that series also. But we've had a whole season. You know, we've had adversity this season. We've had up and downs. We've been through a lot. So, you know, hopefully that's all out the way. And, you know, once we go through a tough time, we've already, you know, kind of been through it.
Yeah, that's Devin Booker a couple days ago at Suns practice comparing, hey, how's this one going to be different from the last playoff run? I found it interesting, too, on hearing that soundbite for the second time. You mentioned Chris Paul got hurt early in the series. Didn't say anything about DeAndre Ayton's injury.
This is an interesting fact about the Western Conference. This is the first time since 2015 that there are seven teams in the West that won 49 or more games. It shows the depth of the conference. If not the the victories at the high end, there's just a lot of good teams.
An interesting note about Suns versus Timberwolves. It's apropos of nothing, but this is an amazing statistic after all these years. When the Minnesota Timberwolves came into the league in 1989... the Suns beat them 25 consecutive times. They swept them for their first 6 years of existence.
Wow.
It's been pretty one-sided.
Yeah, and then you think about, you know, there's generally town rivalries. There's not, what rivalries do we have with Minnesota?
None.
They helped the Vikings get in the playoffs or keep them out of the playoffs 1 year. What was that?
The Vikings landed.
Yeah, they beat the Cardinals in the playoffs the week before they lost to the Falcons. Yeah, there's not a lot there until now. So, well, you know, keep it hammer and nail. All good by me.
Yes, thanks to Kellen Olsen, Bill Burr. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. We'll leave you with this.
Don't tell me Austin Mock does mock drafts. What a branding opportunity that is, huh?
I know, right? He didn't do a mock draft, but he did do a ranking, which I think should fall into the purview of Adam Rank from NFL.com.
Wow, we're broadcasting in 30 seconds. I need to run across the room and get a wet wipe.
I'm a damn good MC, so hire me.
Bradley Beal, scorer, leader, facilitator, defender, self-editor on the fly.
35-4! This is Infinity!
I got a fever.
And the only prescription is more
cowbell. You boys, you're going to need more cowbell.
Well, I'm done with you. You're going to be wearing gold-plated diapers.
Yeah, I'm not paying for hockey.
Hey, Linda!
Linda!
Balloon!
Oh!
Drop the beer on my Bukowskis.
Give me a box of those, three of those, one of those.
Hold that.
That's the worst looking hat I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, no!
Pop!
Worthless.
Worthless. Stink!
Does anybody have any competitive bones in their body anymore?
This is the garbage you get me!
Newt bar! Newt bar!
Yeah, I know talk about that.
A good baritone. La la la. La la la. La 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 la.
Ow!
Blank Morello.
Yeah.
And not the guitarist from Rage Against the Machine. No.
Hockey schmocky.
Oh, Wolf Mother.
Thank you, Lakers.
He's contused.
Snot Jones.
Orville Schredenbacher.
Shut up, Jared!
Everyone be normal to your female colleagues today.
I want to talk about tractors and dogs and chicken and beer.
Oh, you just can't get enough of me right now. Hello, everybody.